When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
あ、ここいるんだ。
本当？見えないでしょ。どこにいるのかな。あ、うん、見えない。
あ、こんな時。
I miss you。What's good, internet? Welcome to the first episode of a show we don't really have the name for. It might just show up in your in the feed as a bonus Waypoint Radio for this first episode anyway. We'll see. But this was going to be Video Game Book Club, or talked about maybe like Dive Club, like you're going on a deep dive, or someone in the chat said Waypoint Rendezvous, or not the chat, the forum. Waypoint Rendezvous.
That sounds illicit.
Waypoint Rendezvous.
That seems like David Duchovny is going to do some commentary over that. It might air on Showtime back in the mid-90s. I guess that was when he did that. That was
Silk
before
Stockings,
X-Files, right?
What was that, Silk Stockings, or was that something else? What?
Oh, Red Shoe Diaries?
Red Shoe Diaries. Silk Stockings!
Right. What TV? That's, still Silk Stockings. It came on after wrestling, and it seemed vaguely sexy. So, you know.
A Binary Domain, also a game that is vaguely sexy.
It has its moments. So we're here to do basically a roundtable. Every month we're going to try to pick a game and from our backlog and go through it and talk about it and try to figure out what we think about it. This month we are doing Binary Domain. Full disclosure, we initially wanted to do Vanquish, but Vanquish did not have a release date yet. So we picked a different shoot game that was a third-person shooter where you shot a bunch of robots.
And you know what? I think Vanquish is going to come out on Steam when this podcast comes out. This podcast will probably go out on a Thursday, and I think that's when it launched on Steam.
Well, you know, we all live our lives. Maybe we'll do an episode about Vanquish later this year or something. But Binary Domain is a game that I've wanted to play for a long time and have had it for a long time and just like never got around to it. And so we're going to do this podcast, which is going to be about the first three chapters. So spoilers, get ready for the first three chapters. And then we're going to do a follow-up podcast that's also about the next three chapters and kind of our larger thoughts about the game. There's a pretty good thread going on the forum right now about the game called Thoughts on Why Binary Domain is, quote, surprisingly good, which we'll get into because the person who made that thread also sent us a really good letter in a little bit. So make sure you go to the forums at forum.waypoint.vice.com or, you know, you can go to discourse.zone and chat a little bit about what your feelings are about the game so far. And again, if you have any other good naming ideas for this, whatever the thing is we're doing, feel free to send those in to gaming@vice.com or send your thoughts about the second half of Binary Domain to gaming@vice.com with the subject Binary Domain. Thoughts?
Yeah. I want to know what the hell you guys have gotten me into.
Shooting robots.
Yeah. Yeah. So I haven't finished the first three chapters. I've finished like the first chapter. And then I needed a break. And I needed to think about whether I wanted to continue with this project. I was going to say on this podcast. Because the first impression this game is making... Well, there's two first impressions. One is a really loving ass shot of Big Bo.
Big Bo's got a butt.
And this game wants you to know all about that. Like, I have not seen a rear end showcase this way since, like, Mass Effect 2. It's a little consternating. But the other thing is that it feels, at least at first glance, like such a bog-standard cover shooter from this era.
Oh, well, you are not wrong there, my friend. The reason we are playing this game is not because you would play Vanquish where you go, man, that is still a killer fucking video game that's super fun to play. Like, Binary Domain, like, gets by just, like, okay enough, except for when
just
you...
Just okay.
Like, except for when you get to the boss battles, and then you're kind of like, oh, this is bad. But yeah, I mean, I was here when I played this game and continue to be here for this game. Because this will be the second time I've played through it. I played through this game the first time at the insistence of Vinny Caravella, because he wanted to make an argument for Big Bo as best new character for Johnny Bomb's Game of the Year Awards. And so,
oh my lord, really?
Then became surprised at like the sci-fi storytelling, which is why I ended up playing the game. I also canonically in my head have thought for years, like, if you had asked me straight up, I would have said, yes, Platinum made this game. I don't know why I thought that.
Oh, no.
I have no... I guess just because of Sega's relationship with Platinum, I just presumed
sure.
It was made by Platinum. And then at some point, I was writing up the post that we were doing doing this for the book club, and I was just fact-checking myself, and I was like, I don't see Platinum listed on this game's Wikipedia page.
It's a Sega game. It's
from
directed
the same producer
designed...
that did the Yakuza games.
Correct. Yeah, Toshihiro Nagoshi. Yep, exactly. And I think that shows a lot because – and I like the Yakuza combat system. I like Yakuza as kind of an open-world adventure game and all that stuff. But what I really love about Yakuza is character interaction. And the kind of like bright, shining spots for me in Binary Domain have been in Chapters 2 and 3 when you start getting a bigger squad and the different character interaction between people who don't really like each other very much and because of that somehow come out as being more charming. Like they're little like banter in which they're taking shots at each other is some of the highlights so far for me in this game.
Well, everyone's kind of a dick. Like most people,
yeah.
Most people are like not likable. The character you play as is not likable. Big Bo, and who do you play? Who's the character you play as? He's like sort of.
So you play as Dan. You play as Dan.
Dan
Marshall.
Dan
Marshall.
Wow, that
all is American, all American. All American boy. Dan Marshall.
Uh huh.
He's an asshole.
Yep.
And I actually find the interactions you have with some of the characters interesting because, like, often in games, you are rewarded for, like, pushing back on people being dicks and, like, you can, like, roleplay as a certain character. But, like, this game, so you'll have these moments in Binary Domain where you can respond to a character with a dialogue choice. And they're usually pretty simple. And then that influences this sort of like hidden stat you have based on your relationship with a character that theoretically the game says influences whether like how quickly they'll come help you or not help you or be an assistant. I'm not, you know, three chapters in, I'm not sure how that system actually works.
Right.
You still get sort of like an approval or disapproval response from characters. And like in, I think it's chapter 2, when you're going through sort of like the underground area and there are a lot of, there are sex workers all around you and you can like talk with them. And then Big Bo is like, hey, want to go like have a sex worker?
Do you want to go hook up me
like,
with that sex worker?
My response is like, Bo, no, we don't have time for that. And then Bo's response, like, you get a negative. Like, it goes, rah, rah, rah. Mm-hmm. Like, which means your response to tell him we don't have time for this is hurting your ability to work as a team. And then his response to you is, like, Dan, I know what you used to be like. And you used to be into stuff like this. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Right. You are not a blank slate. You are Dan Marshall, who different characters have different expectations from him and have different histories with him. And there are certain things like there's another thing. There's a point later where someone is like, I love in my downtime to read books, but you wouldn't like that, would you? And there are ways – I think there's three ways to respond. And like, of course, the way that you're supposed to respond is like, actually, I really like to read books. But there's a similar question, something like that along the way where you try to answer in the affirmative to kind of like get your points with the person. And they just kind of like see right through your bullshit. And it's – I really like those moments in the characterization.
This is kind of an amazing social anxiety simulator where like all the small talk is incredibly loaded. Like somebody will say something completely innocuous and you look at your response menu and your responses are all identically non-committal and innocuous.
Yeah.
If you pick the wrong one, Big Bo's going to be like, oh, why you got to be like that?
Yep.
But I was agreeing with you. I was agreeing with you, Bo.
Well, yeah,
not in the right way.
I had this one interaction with the sniper character. Like the group I started out rolling with was Dan, Big Bo, and the sniper character who I'm now forgetting.
Faye. Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that's the rollout I played with when I played the game originally. Just because it seemed like as much as this, you know, charming British man seems interesting, like, Dan and Big Bo have, like, they go back, so it seems like they'd have the most interesting interactions, and then Faye is, like, has no problem giving everyone shit and, like, talking back to them. So
and is
like
a sniper. And
yeah, and is a sniper, which just seems, like, useful as a gameplay perspective, and also she just, like, was willing to tell Dan to fuck off, and, like, I remember there's one instance in where I, like, I messed something up, or, like, maybe I shot her by accident or something, and then she said, like, you know, like, why'd you mess that up? Like, you know, like, that's, you know, that was BS. And then I responded saying, like, yeah, you're right. Like, I need to try harder. And then I got a negative response, and she said, like, why don't you just, you know, why don't you actually just try harder instead of apologizing for it? And I was like, oh, no!
Wow. And that's way too real.
It's going to be really frustrating because it is a black box, and partially what ends up happening is, like, as you play with the same crew, you end up getting to learn, like, okay, Faye takes no shit, but she also doesn't want any shit. She wants you to be upfront with her, so, like, that doesn't mean apologizing. That doesn't mean, like, blowing smoke up her ass. It doesn't mean, like, being the person who tells her what she wants to hear. And that ends up getting to some really interesting characterization as you get further in the game and go into new environments, because you kind of start – you start in, like – destroyed highways and then slowly make your way into kind of poverty-stricken areas and then into wealthier areas. And it's really interesting to see the different characters have different takes on all of that stuff. So one of the places you get to in Chapter 3 is just like a cafe, like a rooftop cafe.
Which and is actually branded a San Francisco coffee.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah. What's I can't remember what the coffee company is in the game. So the T, right? Binary.
I believe you. I didn't recognize it, but I totally Tully's.
Tully's, which is straight up. That is an American, and I believe
that's hilarious.
San Francisco coffee chain.
That's amazing. Yeah, like literally a robot with the Tully's logo on its chest. That's pretty good. But like in that zone, it's like okay. Big Bo starts off by saying he hates this place because of all the rich people. And then he's like, shit, man, you know I want to get me some of this. And like, yeah, Bo, I know. Like, I know. Whereas one of the other characters is like, all of these stuck-up pricks are just like rich and I can't believe they're living on the back of the poor and robots. And I think that there's like a weird political undercurrent to this game that is that I wish I was picking up more of the grimoire cards, more of the data lore docs, because like the one or two I've read have been like, oh yeah, well in the future there's this like right-wing party that's all about economic justice by way of robot automation and climate change and all about like fixing climate change. Well, oh, yeah. And also about nationalistic populist values. And I really love the notion of like, oh, right, like the right is going to have to change. There's still going to be fucking the right, you know, like and that's really it's like the far, far extremist right. And that's really interesting to see that take in this game.
Yeah, you find this you find this little bit of backstory on like, hey, why has Japan gotten like all messed up and sort of fascistic? And it's because
of the flooding.
Yeah, because climate change has made the islands almost uninhabitable as they originally were. So now they're solving everything through technology and like rigid social control. And so it is this interesting like, okay, so this is how the language and policies of authoritarianism adapt themselves to something like climate change.
Right, something that's like unmistakable. Like once the floods hit, there's no more like being wishy-washy about this. And in fact, instead, there you have to learn how to bring that into whatever your platform is. And so, you know, obviously, I would love to see even more of that stuff in this game, or more not necessarily like main plot, but I'd like to see the ephemera of it and the side effects of it and stuff like that. So, it's one of the things that sci-fi does really well. So that was really surprising for me. Anybody else have anything that's like surprising about their playthrough?
To touch on Rob's incredulous reaction when I was setting up Binary Domain, I have soured a lot on my enthusiasm for Big Bo in my second playthrough. Which I mean, Big Bo is essentially a what's his face from Gears of War brought
Coltrane.
Coltrane.
Yes,
I think he's a little more human.
I think you're right. There's actual more characterization given to him, but I'm talking about sort of like the like black stereotype, like sort of like one-liners that he's given, especially up front, which is a lot of like where you get the Big Bo, which like is okay.
Right.
It is funny though, like, but it's not funny when thought in the larger context of like like why they're assigning that to a like someone yelling Big Bo when there is a camera put up to their face with giant eyeballs is funny. Uh-huh. But, like, when it's assigned to, like, a long history of, like, black characters who, like, who just yell to be funny, like, there's all that. But, so it's like...
My feelings on Big Bo are so complex and layered because you're totally right. Like, there's absolutely, like, this blaxploitation angle with this character that is very similar to Coltrane in Gears of War. But when I think about Gears of War 1's characterization of Coltrane, it's like, what are the things you know about Coltrane? Okay, he's a professional football player who yells, choo-choo, it's Coltrane time, baby. Or the Coltrane is coming through. Or whatever.
Whereas, like, all of those sound like canon, even if you made them all up.
Right. And so when Coltrane said those things, what I want to say is, like, I don't know people who sound like that. But when I hear Bo pull Dan aside and say, like, do you like pineapple on your pizza, brother? And, like, yeah, I know that dude. Do you know what I mean? Like, they have those lower level mundane conversations about going on vacations, and, like, they kind of banter in a way that is often misogynistic and racist and bad. And also, it tickles me to hear a black voice in a game that sounds genuine.
The game doesn't pretend that they're not those things either, right? Like
no.
In the way it, like, portrays Big Bo when he's talking about, like, you know, let's go have a sex, like, he is obviously being grotesque, and the game gives you the opportunity to push back on it and then punishes you for, like, it's hard to tell, because I think, like, the Yakuza games are also, like, very smart and, like, aware. That doesn't mean that, like, they don't drift into bad, but
totally, like, Yakuza 0 is a really dope game that also gets really transphobic, and it's really hard to have both of those opinions at once,
right?
Because I don't want to, the fact that I even said it was a rad game that gets transphobic is like, well, why is that not enough for me to then just say it's not a rad game, right? Like, how do we judge these things that are 40 hours long when there is, like, 3 hours of real garbage? Like, same thing with Breath of the Wild this year with its transphobia is like, I haven't liked the game as much as I've liked Breath of the Wild in forever, and also that quest line is really, really, really bad. And so I'm doing my best to be able to, like, compartmentalize the bits of this that I think work and the ones that don't, and it can be hard. But overall, I'm still generally having a good time for the reasons that you're saying, which is, like, I can call Bo out on his shit. Faye is there to call Bo out on his shit. Rachel, who is, like, just a rad soldier, is also there just to be a rad soldier, right? Like, she is loud and angry in a lot of the ways Dan is, except she's a woman. And, like, that is her character. And that made me feel good because they weren't, like, trying to do a thing where it's like, okay, like, we need the woman character to be XYZ. It's like, nope, she's just another soldier. Like, this is a team of soldiers. That's her deal. She gets a little, like, angry sometimes, literally the same way Dan does. So I guess I'm curious to see how her arc wraps up also.
Right.
I guess my big takeaway was I've spent the last 4 years being told, hey, you have to meet Kane, the French android, in this game.
Yes.
He's a really good character. And I was like, okay, I'm going to meet a fucking French robot. I bet you he's going to wear a beret and a scarf and, like, be like, oui, monsieur. And I'd be like, yeah, okay, whatever. And then he showed up and he had at least a scarf on. I don't know that he had a beret on. And he was like, oui, monsieur. And I was like, oh, this is the best robot ever. I love this robot. Rob, you haven't reached Kane yet, but you will if you stick with it. I promise. And Kane is good.
Yeah, and he immediately, like, you're given the option to put him in your party. And I was like, Bo, you out. Kane, you in.
Yep. Kane, you in. Kane, that's a dope scarf. Kane, you know how to drive a car. Kane, this poison gas isn't killing you, which was a good choice.
I wonder how that section changes.
I've looked this up. Your people will suffocate to death, and you have to rush them into those little booths where there's oxygen to breathe. Otherwise, they die.
That makes that sequence sound way more frustrating.
Yep. So, you know, hang out with that robot. That robot has advantages.
I have found I remember part of the reason that the game struck me beyond, like, Kane and some of the characterization stuff was I found the humanity of, like, the robots and the way they are, or the, what do they call them, the hollow children, which are
the hollow children, yeah,
which are
what a name,
which are essentially Like, there's at some point, as robotics advances in the world of Binary Domain, there is a certain clause that is passed that is signed by, or there's like a treaty that is signed by all the world's governments saying, you know, like, the one thing you won't do is to create robots that are indistinguishable from human, or I guess if you make them, there has to be some sort of way that they're identified and tracked and blah, blah, blah. And what happens is that it is soon discovered that these hollow children have been not only do they exist, but they have been existing in society for decades, and they don't even know they're hollow children. So you have these robotic hollow children that are suddenly becoming aware that they are not human and are having like there's a sequence I don't think you've gotten to, Rob, but it happens when you're in this sort of underground sector, and there's this interaction between sort of like a local gang and the same character you find that starts the game off, that, you know, has the ripped face and is confused about its humanity or lack thereof, and is essentially just tortured by this gang, and like it exposes like these interesting sort of race. I'm not sure what the classification would be between robot and human, species. But it's – I found it really affecting and, like, found myself really empathetic to the robotic creatures and the idea that – and even saying that makes it sound crass in the way the game – like, they literally thought they were human for an entire lifetime and then suddenly find out they are not. And I find the way that it's portrayed to be, like, surprisingly human for however complicated that word comes across.
Totally. I think that there is – that scene specifically is, like, really rough.
Yeah.
Partially because of, like, just the physical violence is, like, hard to watch. And also, I think one of the things that's been interesting with this game is that it knows it's actually easier to watch because you go in your own head, don't worry, that's just a robot. And you can kind of do your, like, brain thing where, like, it's bad that they're treating that robot poorly because that robot's a person too and they shouldn't have ripped its skin off of its face. But also, when you watch that happen and it reveals that there's just metal under there and not bone, you're okay with it in a way that you would not be if someone ripped someone's face off and there was bone under there. Mm. And that moment of revelation is like, I can say all day that I think robot are equal to people. Robot.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
In this world should be equal to people, but my response does not map to that, which is really good at getting you to, like, engage with that stuff. And I don't know, like, we've been really lucky. We've had Nier this year, Nier Automata, which is probably a much more thoughtful game on synthetic life and AI and all that stuff. But this is doing that much more traditional story in a way that I think is really effective. So I'm digging it so far.
This does sort of feel like if somebody made a cover shooter sort of set in the world like Ghost in the Shell standalone complex, where it's all very... This kind of feels like a world this full of rules and bureaucracies, and also, by the way, they were aware that they had this potential for like an AI revolution, and everyone just kind of agreed to ignore that possibility. And then suddenly, it turns out that their societies are all sort of shot through with it, and it is kind of it is kind of cool how the pathos is so quickly evoked with these characters that almost in some ways the thing that is triggering the crisis is that the hollow children, which by the way it does bother me that, like, okay, so they all agreed they weren't going to create sentient AI life, right?
Yeah.
Everyone said,
well, no, sentient AI life was fine. You can't make sentient AI life that robots that can pass for humans, which again is its a whole own thing about like the culture of passing and the politics of quote unquote passing. That's like a pretty dense like issue. And then this metaphor is extra weird because the characters that are passing for human in this game don't know that they're passing for human. They believe they are human. And then us phrasing it that way immediately reframes it as like, okay, well, they're not really people, obviously. But of course, they should be equal. Of course, they should be. But biologically, they're not humans. And like, suddenly you find yourself speaking the grammars of shitty bigots. I'm really curious to see if the second half of this game knows that or if it just kind of does the walks the steps that all of these stories do. You know,
I'm also just kind of surprised that the shitty bigots already have this entire grammar around this issue that like supposedly
around hollow children,
right? The hollow children, like the moment, like literally the first time you see this dude like weeping and crying in the middle of this robotics research facility, screaming that his whole life has been a lie. Literally this is like just announced to the world there's this problem, and then you go to the very serious and convincing situation room with the president of the United States, who's the most like grotesque American ass looking I don't know, it's like total anime president.
Yep. Total anime that's his name actually. He's total anime president. Briefly, I do just want to briefly say that if people like the story in this game and are interested in more like cyberpunk stories like this in with this sort of characterization and stuff, they might want to check out Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex, which is a really great cyberpunk procedural anime series. Patrick, I think even you could like a couple of the episodes of that show.
It's so good, it's barely anime.
That's the best argument I've ever heard.
But I'm just saying, why do they all know? Yes. Why does everyone know what a hollow child is? Like, why has this term just like been waiting?
It's the same reason that like if that happened in real life, you'd be like, that's a replicant, because they probably went to see Blade Runner 2048, and in it turns out that they stopped calling them replicants and they started calling them hollow children.
Yeah, I'm curious. Yeah, they never really actually get into the origins of the term. They just say, oh, we call them hollow children, and I'm
right.
I wonder if they're. I don't think it's actually explained in the game. Maybe it is in one of those like pieces of separate fiction that you can pick up, but I'd be curious to know why they settled on that as like a term, because it's a really interesting term.
Right, but is it just an evocative term that doesn't have any like fake history written to it, or does it have something somewhere in there? Who knows? I'm sure someone could write in and let us know. Speaking of writing in, we only have like 20 minutes left, so we should quickly look at what people have written into us and maybe talk a little bit about this. So this first one I want to bring up comes in from Brian, who also started a thread on the in the forums and says, this is a question I brought up in the forums and provided some of my own ideas, but I'd love to hear your thoughts. When people, myself included, discuss binary domain, it's often with backhanded praise that the story is, quote, actually good, that the voice acting is, quote, surprisingly well done, etc. What do you think it is about binary domain that makes everyone inherently assume it should be bad?
Because its first impression is terrible. I'll tell you why. Because literally on this podcast, everyone is being like, Rob, you got to keep playing it. Trust us. This game is good. Because when I saw the screenshots, when Patrick started yelling about Big Bo, and then when I first started like playing it, like everything about this game, every single like first impression that it could make was like flags going up. Like red warning lights. I was like, I don't know what's going on here. So I kind of feel like the people, like, you know, you guys praising this game, it is coming from a place of like I don't know, a little bit of not protectiveness.
I mean, this is the first time I've played it, right? So I don't have a history with this or anything like that. But I've also played through the intro 3 times, so I knew what I was getting into. Or 2 times. This is my 3rd time through. So I knew that the first hour and a half were going to be like dragging my feet and like dragging myself through this and dealing with Big Bo shouting Big Bo and dealing with like the having to come to terms with the fact that the character I'm playing as is a shit heel and like all of that stuff is now for me like part of the expectation, and I'm at the point now where, oh, I've gotten through that and now I'm excited because I'm getting deeper into the other characters' lives. I'm meeting the French robot. I'm getting into boss fights that, like Patrick said, aren't necessarily good, but there's a degree of spectacle that I like big robots. And so the fact that like the whole first act is this single big robot sort of chasing you and bouncing in and out of different boss fights with it until finally you take it down is really like I enjoyed that. And so like I think part of it is that expectation, but I think you're totally right that part of the reason that people's like, well, actually, it's good. It's just the first hour is very rough, and it just feels like cookie cutter third person shooter.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, I think that it's less protectionism as much as like just like get over that hump. Like it's a bad hump, like to get over.
Yeah.
And also because I think like it's a deeply flawed, mediocre game in like so many ways, but it had like the parts that I like a lot. They it's like it's very much a game that is like. Individual elements of it I deeply adore, but could you know, if someone said I couldn't get over the fact that it was like a shitty shooter, I'd be like, yep, I mean,
yeah, fair,
can't fight you on that one. But you know, it is these little things like the characterization, it is these little things like the like surprisingly interesting French robot and things like that. It's like it's eccentric. And in a way that if I'd played more of the Yakuza games, I bet I would say, oh, this is – you can see the through line there like between these two games, even though they're coming at it in different ways. I found it memorable. And I play a lot of video games, and even a lot of very good video games don't stick with me. And I found that like I would still like tell people about Binary Domain or look back on it fondly, or when someone brought it up, be like, yeah, I had a good time with that. So that even though its mediocrity is part of its identity, it's I think part of the appeal of like sitting here and talking about it was to like drill down and like, why was it memorable? Even if looking at screenshots on Steam, you go, come on, like, why the fuck are we playing this game?
Well, and the other thing there is just this is not a team that's made games like this before, right? Like, even going into Gears of War, that's coming from a studio that has made shooters before. Not necessarily third-person shooters, not necessarily, like, heavy story-driven games out of Epic. Not that the Unreal games didn't have any story, necessarily, but, you know, and so there was some surprise there. But, like, oh, these people know how to make something that feels good to move around and shoot a gun in with Gears of War. But the team behind Binary Domain is just like, oh yeah, Sega made this, and it's the Yakuza team that in which there are very few guns and certainly no like aiming with a left trigger shooting with or aiming with a left thumbstick shooting with a right trigger shooting. Like the expectation is low, I think. It seemed when it came out, I remember feeling like, oh, this is going to be like $30, right? And like, no, this is a full priced game, and that's I don't know. I think that was just not what people were ready for. Especially at that point in time, right? Like, this game came out in 2012 for the Xbox 360 and the PS3, and then I think a little later for the PC. And we were in a phase of Japanese games that were, like, trying to find their footing again, trying out Western, what seemingly, quote-unquote, Western genres. And expectations had been kind of, like, put on their head, I think. So I think maybe we've just inherited that actually or surprising thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. Like, there's a reason. Like, this is like a post Gears of War game in which the Japanese developers are looked at that as a touchstone for like, you know, and that's what's part of what's interesting about this, right? Like, it's like a bad Gears of War game, but Gears of War also had a bad story, and so like it's interesting to see like the flip here, which is like. It's not a great take on Gears of War. It's like half, like 60% there, but doesn't have the crispness that you actually got in Gears of War. But the storytelling and the ambition of the storytelling is like far more interesting than anything I saw in that game, which like plays to Japanese strengths, but was also indicative of what Japanese game development was at that time, as they spent essentially the whole generation refinding their identity, an identity that didn't show up again until really the last couple of years when, you know, in 2017 has fired on all cylinders, but like really in the last couple of years has kind of like found its footing and adopted Western design philosophy in a way that is not just plucking gears. Like look at, Metal Gear Solid 5, right? Like that's a game that adopts open world design ideas from the West, but does its own fucking thing with it in really interesting ways that do not feel as though it's just a cookie cutter grab. It's actually, we figured out why this is interesting, and now we're going to go our own way.
It's worth noting that Vanquish came out in 2010. So, like, there's also a little bit of that, which is like, we've seen what a really great Japanese developer can do with a third person shooter and robots. And it's way more interesting than maybe what binary domain looks like at, on face, you know? So lots of competing expectations. Anyway, next question comes in from Craig, who brings up something that I think is maybe not important, but like I don't think any of us have had this experience, and so I wanted it to be in here. Hey, Waypoint, I just wanted to share some of my favorite binary domain experiences. I played the game on the Xbox 360, and I used the headset to try out the voice commands. For most of the game, I found them to be finicky and disposable, but one time, during a firefight, I accidentally shot at Bo. He scolded me, and reflexively, I mumbled, "Sorry." The microphone picked it up, and Bo responded, assuring me that everything was okay between us. It was such a small part of my playtime, but it stuck with me over the years. I love the idea of a game that's not really based around communication, giving you the opportunity to communicate with its characters in a natural way. Excuse me, in a natural way. Binary Domain isn't necessarily that game, but it gave me a glimpse of what it might look like in that moment and endeared me to Bo in a way that selecting a response from a text menu could never do. Thanks for reading and keep on being good. Have either of you messed with the voice stuff this playthrough?
No. Rob, you?
You guys told me not to.
Yeah, I mean,
all I've got, by the way, is a podcast like studio mic. So, like, trying to rig that up so it was like near me while I was playing just seemed really dumb.
I tried. I did like their voice like training for like 20 minutes, and I just couldn't get enough of the things to register correctly. Maybe I'll just try it with a bad headset mic and see if somehow that's better because it's a bad headset mic that expected, you know.
I liked it in theory, but and I tried it through the tutorial section, but then just it's just easier just to pull up the left bumper and hit A or B.
The thing is, like, I want to know how much is there for, because there's like a set list of words that they can understand, mm-hmm. and there are situations in which you can say things that are not just one of the four buttons. Options that show up during dialogue options, and I'm curious how much recorded dialogue there is that is not tied to one of those button presses. Like, is there a special way that Bo would respond if I was like that's bullshit to something that happens when none of my options are that's bullshit, or does it just give me the response that he would say if I had said like this is bad? Do you know what I mean?
If I had to guess. Yeah. My guess is that stuff doesn't exist. I would be like to be pleasantly surprised, but when I did the tutorial stuff, I got the game to tell me, like, well, I don't understand, like, twice, and I was like, okay, like, done. Like, I'm not going to sit here and, like, try and work through what your answers might be. But I think it's an interesting idea. I don't know. I just was – once I got kind of turned off to it in the beginning, I wasn't going to sit there and fight with it a second time around. But that is a cool interaction that the – person wrote in about, like, if you could have more of those, I can see why that would be more more powerful.
Totally. I'm very curious to see if anybody else picks this up as like a design thing and tries to do it again in the next few years, because I think if you could get into a relaxed enough mode where you are just saying one or two things every once in a while, it would be pretty cool. So yeah, we'll see. Next question is very basic, but I think it gets at something very good about this game, which is shooting the robot limbs in this game feels really good, like wacky Dead Space. Love, Kevin. Love you too, Kevin. it does. It feels really good to, like, the robots break in good ways. Like, all the armor plates break off, and you reveal the bits underneath and break off
and
their legs, and they tumble over.
It all plays a tactical role.
Like, totally.
If you take, like, basically you can hobble them, in which case they're going to be easier targets to pick off, and maybe it's a decent crowd control technique. Or, you know, the robots that where you can shoot their heads off and they go sort of berserk, and then you have a friendly fire exchange.
Oh, that's
robots.
Such a good mechanic. I love that part.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's actually, I would say, like, kind of better than Dead Space.
Totally. When someone lands with like a Gatling gun and you're like, oh, I have three sniper rounds. If I can just get that stupid head off, this thing's going to go my way, and you pull it off and the huge hulking robot with the Gatling gun like turns on its own dudes, is like, mwah, perfect, good, yes. So that's I'm very into that. And then I think it also just connects to the thing we were saying before, which is like, even though intellectually the response that we want to say as like correct thinking members of society who are anti-bigotry is we love robots are people too, also it feels good to shoot these robots. And, like, it feels good to make their legs explode in these ridiculous ways and to shoot their arms off. And as they're crawling towards you to, like, choke you to death or whatever, to shoot them in the heads and they stop moving. And I don't know that this game is, like, intentionally trying to, like, make a statement about how we try to square that circle of, in the abstract, saying yes, robot rights, and in the moment-to-moment feeling like fetishizing killing robots. But it does that, whether or not it's intentional. And I think that that's pretty good. I think it's a pretty good thing it does. So that's my take so far. What are your hopes for the remainder of this game, Rob?
Oh, I kind of want...
that was a long pause and a long oh.
Uh-huh.
I have so many hopes. I hope for a swift improvement and maybe a swift end. No, I think there's
I mean, it's not that long of a game, so...
There's a couple things. One, I'm hoping that I will be able to, like, feel the difference it makes in, like, squad chemistry if my buddies like me or not. Like, I am hoping that, like, that weird... basically, I'm hoping for the weird... almost like RPG-ish, JRPG-ish elements in this game to combine with that cover shooter in weird and unusual ways. Because I think this is the thing that intrigues me, is it feel like, to go back to your previous point, this feels very much like a, you know, mid-2000s like Japanese games industry take on the rise of the cover shooter, and it hasn't yet sort of been processed through. You know, the homogenization that sometimes happens in the life cycle of a genre.
Totally. There's things that I'm excited for you to get to. I really want you to meet the, like, underground, like, Yakuza guy who is part of the resistance in the black market. There's a cop character who I think is, like, they're not doing too much with him yet, but I love it every time he's on screen, because he fits into this archetypical, like, cop chasing the bad guys thing, and then you're the bad guys, and you are the bad guys because you're, like, fucking going through the streets in a car and shooting at robots and cop cars with a machine gun in the middle of the day. And, like, yeah, I hope this cop catches us. That'd be funny. There's all the stuff I want you to see. I have a question for you, Rob. Would this game be better or worse if when you ranked up with one of your character's loyalties, if it said, like, I am thou and thou art I, and then it did the whole persona thing? Would that be better for you or worse?
I think it would be a lot better if there were, like, a Sailor Moon cutscene showing your, like, new level of friendship, possibly with, like, hard cuts to your character and the other character, like, maybe it's Big Bo, like, sort of growing out and lots of, like, sparkles. And
I think you mean – sorry. I think you mean bowing out.
Thank you.
Bowing out. That's going to do it for us. Patrick, is there anything you want to see in the remainder of your playthrough?
I enjoyed the first game and already. Last video game book club.
Austin killed it.
Yep. But Patrick, really, on your second time through, is there anything you're, like, excited to get to, or without getting too spoilery?
Yeah, if I am remembering the game correctly, I am looking forward to the ending a lot. I remember it having a very impactful ending, and I'm curious if my recollection of it lines up with the actual things that go down. But I remember the game making good on some of the promises that the story set up earlier, in a way that I found really satisfying and affecting at the time. Now, you know, we're living a post, you know, near Automata age, so I'm curious how that changes based on that. But I remember it being very affecting at the time.
Totally. All right, well, I'm excited for that. I'm hoping it's affecting for me as well, and I hope it's affecting for all of you out there. Remember that you can come to our forums at forum.waypoint.vice.com or discourse.zone to talk to us about this game, and you can send questions in to gamingadvice.com with the subject binary domain. Also, please keep sending us names for whatever this is. Very curious to see what people think. We'll try to figure that out by the next episode, which will either be next week or the week after, or pre-E3, so things are a little wild right now, as you might imagine. All right, that is going to do it for us this time. We will be back on Monday and Friday, as always, with Waypoint Radio, so check that out. And if you like this, let us know. All right. Peace.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.